If you or someone you love struggles with a gambling addiction, please call 1-800-GAMBLER today. And please, gamble responsibly. Hello, everyone, and welcome into another episode of Sports Betting by Dummies. I am your host, Patty Parlays, and with me, as always, is Diz. Diz, how's it going, buddy?
Going great. I'm excited for some NHL playoffs. I'm excited for some Bruins to make a push and give me some fat stacks.
Okay, a little tease there for you. But the topic of the day is going to be hedging bets. So sometimes if you are getting down to a make or break situation where you could either win a lot or win nothing, like I was with the Hail Mary parlay of the day last Friday, you have an option there. You can hedge your bet. So instead of sitting there and going crazy and wondering, am I going to win, you know, $800 or am I going to win zero? If you put $50 or $100 or however much on the opposite side of your bet, then you can guarantee that you can at least make some money instead of going all or nothing.
Pat, I would like to clarify.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm one of the largest anti-hedgers you will ever meet. But before you continue, I want it to be known that hedging, for the most part, is covering some losses as opposed to netting a profit. So I will never hedge unless it's like your Hail Mary parlay of the day, where your payout is so massive that you profit either way. A lot of times when you hedge, you lose both ways. You lose both times. It's just you lose less, which I'm not about that. Ride it out till the end. So I just want to make that clear. Like I think your Hail Mary parlay of the day is a rare example where when you hedge, you profit both ways. That's not how hedging is most of the time. Hedging normally is I'm losing less if I make this bet.
Okay. Well, fair enough, I guess. But, one thing too, when you're hedging is you want to make sure that you are making some money either, no matter what the result is. For example, if you have money line of one team and that's the last one you need to hit the parlay, you can go money line other team that they're going up against to help kind of, you know, either guarantee profits or cut down on your losses. Now, we ran into this on Friday because there was a point when the Mavericks were playing the Clippers. I had Clippers -3. And so we had opportunities to take the Mavericks at like +1, +2, but we didn't want to do that because then if there was the rare opportunity where it went right in between the two results, then you were losing all of your money.
You were down bad if that happens. I will say the live hedge was actually pretty electric because me and Patty were watching it and waiting for that line to get right in that sweet spot where he nets a profit either way. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, a lot of times hedging is done live because, you know, you realize you're going to lose and then you hedge. So like, that's a good example of that. So yeah, just make sure you don't leave any gray room when you hedge. Like if I take like the Bears -3 and then I take the opposing team like +1, then I'm allowing a nightmare situation where I lose both of them. So don't do that. That's what you meant, right, Pat?
Yes, correct. Don't leave an opportunity for you to not win a bet. If you hedge, and for me, if I hedge, I want to make sure that there is a result where I make some sort of money or I lose less, right? You don't want to leave an opportunity where you could lose everything because you just threw in more money into a losing bet, essentially.
Right, right.
So with hedging, you've got to time it right, and you got to be thinking about all possible outcomes. You can't just be thinking one way or the other.
How often do you hedge, Patty?
Well, for me, I'm a parlay guy. I put $1 in to win these massive amounts. If I get down to the last two or three legs of a parlay and I'm actually feeling like there's a good chance that I could make it, I'm not afraid to go out and hedge those last two or three legs. Like on Friday,
right,
I hedged two legs of that last parlay, of the last two legs of that parlay, because I was willing to, you know, go out of my way for both of those to make sure that I could win some money.
So in that case, you're kind of alluding to my point of like, for the most part, when you hedge, it's on an insane payout parlay, so you're going to net a profit, right?
Correct. And, you know, you can't say you're, you know, losing less because I haven't hit that $800 parlay. It's not like I'm losing that money.
Right.
But yeah.
That's how you have to look at it. So many people would think like, oh, I'm losing that money. No, it's just you didn't win as much as you could have. So
right. And that's kind of my go-to is like, I would much rather lower my profit, but still guarantee a profit as opposed to going all or nothing. I'm not a very risky person. That's why I only do these $1 long shot parlays, right? Because I'm not going out there putting $10 a bet down or $10 a parlay. I'm only going $1 at a time because I'm risk averse personally.
Yeah, I would say if you're like me and you just make $5 like solo bets or you bet the over or something, like just don't hedge. Like it's not worth it. In Patty's situation, he was in a spot where he's going to make money no matter what if he hedges because he was down to those last few. So I would only hedge if that's the case, but that gets pretty tough. You've got to make sure the lines are right. It is what it is. If you have like a juicy parlay, definitely do it, but I would just generally say, like, avoid hedging on, like, a bet. One, you're confident in, and two, that isn't that much of a payout.
Right.
Just think of it as a sunk cost. Like, that's just me. When I bet, I think of it as a sunk cost. Like, I've already put this money into the sports books. Like, I'm not going to get it back unless I win. So, like, let's not lose less. Like, the money's already gone for me. That's how I see it. Maybe that's a horrible way to look at it, but I think hedging can be dangerous and just – be confident in your bet. That's where I've always stood.
And that's the thing with this is there's no surefire thing about it. It's a very, you know, situation by situation basis, but it is something you can do to kind of either help, you know, cover some losses or to guarantee profit.
Yeah, absolutely. And shout out to you, Patty, for hedging on Friday. Hindsight, it's easy to say you shouldn't have hedged and you should have made all 800 or you should have netted all $800, but you were in a spot where no matter what happened, you were going to net a profit on a $1 bet of like $50 minimum. And I think you netted like $650 or something, right? Cause the parlay hit. So like kudos to you for making that happen. Like hedging in that spot is kind of really difficult, but you found a way. So shout out to you. I didn't think you'd be able to do it. I was thinking like there's got to be a way where you like can lose it all, and there just truly wasn't. Like you just figured it out. So balls to you. And yeah, just don't hedge unless you're in a situation like that and you're just going to net either way, but that's where I'm at.
Right on. Right on. And some people will just say like, oh, well, you could just cash out instead of hedge, which that's an option. But then again, you're also missing out on the possibility of hitting that parlay. So, you know, there's different strategies, different ways to get around things. But hedging is just something I wanted to talk about today because I did do it on Friday with my Hail Mary parlay of the day. And I figured it's a very interesting topic.
I think cashing out should be a topic for another pod because, like, that's a whole different thing. You can definitely compare it to hedging, but I almost want its own day on the pod because that shit can go so much deeper in conversation.
I mean, going back to, like, the original few episodes of this when I didn't cash out on that five-leg huge moneyline underdog parlay in college football. So, yeah, we will touch on cashing out at some point. But let's move on. NBA playoff update. Nuggets Suns game 2 tonight. Suns are up 1-0 in the series. Suns are 6-point favorites like they were on, when was that, Monday? I do like the Suns to win tonight. I like them to cover, and I still like them to win the series pretty easily.
I agree.
Yeah, nothing really exciting there, although shout out Jokic for winning MVP for the Nuggets. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say it actually might have been exactly what you were gonna say. I just saw a tweet that like he was the 41st pick in the NBA draft, and like it wasn't even on air. It was a Taco Bell commercial when he got drafted, and it was like just pretty electric. So good for him.
Yeah, and I saw too that he's like the first center to win MVP since Shaq.
Wow.
It's not really a big man's league anymore, but hey, shout out to him, man. Hopefully he can will the Nuggets to win a couple games and make this series interesting. I just don't see it. Moving to the ice tonight, we got Islanders-Bruins game six tonight. Islanders lead the series 3-2 after a 5-4 victory on Monday. I personally think the Bruins are the better team. The only real question mark is their goalie, Tuukka Rask. A lot of people are saying he's kind of hurt. He hasn't been himself. If he plays like I know he can, then I think the Bruins win this in seven games.
I agree, and I'm just loving the value. I'm giving away a best bet. I won't say it entirely, but like, if the Bruins win game six, they're going to be, I don't know about heavily favored, but they're definitely going to be favored in game seven. So we're almost dying with game six. But yeah, I mean, Bruins are the better team. They have home ice, right? Game seven will be in Boston, correct?
Correct. Tonight is in New York.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they pull out game six, they're heavily favored in game seven. I'm going to love the value. I'm probably going to use that in a best bet.
Well, and it's funny, too, because when you asked me about this earlier before the show, what the series price is, I already had that because I also put a bet on that as well. That's my side sauce bet of the night. Boston to win this series at plus 180.
Nice.
But anyways, let's review our best bets from Monday. I went 2-1. I got burnt by the Bucks bad, man. I mean, the Bucks look like they can't even compete with the Nets, and the Nets don't even have Jimmy Harden.
But still can't get over the fact that you call him Jimmy Harden. It honestly makes me sick.
Hey, I like to have my fun. But real quick, and this is a little tidbit, and I know Diz was a big fan of this the last time. The only way the Bucks get a win in this series is if they start defending the three and hitting the three. So in game two, the Nets hit 21 three-pointers, and they shot 50% from three. The Bucks, on the other hand, only hit eight three-pointers, which was 30% from three. The difference between those, 39 points. And that is the exact amount they lost by. So,
wow.
I do think the Bucks can win a game or two, but they have to win the round the perimeter on both ends of the court. So,
yeah, love it. Good shit. Love those bets. You hit on that the first time you did that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. So I just wanted to throw that out there again. That's one of the key things I look at in a series like this, in two teams playing each other over and over again, is how did the threes go for either side? Because a team that shoots hot from three can win any game, but a team that shoots poorly from three can lose any game. So the three-pointer, I think, is more of a big deal than people let on.
For sure.
All right, Diz, what do you got for best bets? Or no, how'd your best bets do on Monday? Sorry.
Yeah, I went 1-1. Nothing to write home about. My girl Sloane Stephens lost, so that kind of hurts. Not really a huge fan of anyone left on the women's side, but I hit my over for the Bruins Islanders. I think there were 9 total goals, and pretty juiced that the Islanders won because I'm getting great value on Boston. So that's how I did Monday. Sorry.
Nice. Love it. So let's go ahead and get into our best bets of the night. I'm pretty sure I'm on the same side as Diz here. In the NHL, I'm going Islanders-Bruins over 5.5 tonight. The average goals scored in this series between the two teams has been 6.2. As we alluded to earlier, there was actually 9 goals scored last game. And it comes down to Tuukka Rask again, like we mentioned. He actually left the third quarter last game. I think he is starting tonight, but if he gives up a few goals in this game or he gets hurt or something and they sub him out, the backup can't even like get close to the level of Rask. So I think the Islanders Bruins over 5.5, and you're getting into plus 130. I think that's the play here.
Yep. Love it. I'm with you there. I agree entirely.
Moving to the baseball diamond. I'm going Royals versus Angels, first 5 over 4.5 runs. Now, you got to listen to this one, Diz. This is a very – I think this one's easy.
Okay.
Both pitchers are terrible. The Kansas City pitcher named Keller. He has a 5.5 ERA this season with an expected ERA of 6.41.
What does that mean?
Expected ERA means like if a pitcher gets hit like really hard, but you know just happens to hit it like right to the defender, or you know you can tell he's getting hit a lot harder than what he's actually giving up run wise. Then the expected ERA kind of factors in like hard hit balls or deep flyouts. You know, maybe the wind kept the ball in the ballpark. You know, stuff like that. Some advanced analytics, if you will.
Interesting.
Canning for the Angels has a 5.82 ERA this season with expected a 4.51. So in that case, he's had a little bit worse luck. They actually think his ERA will come down, but still, those two ERAs are ridiculously high. Kansas City is actually eighth in the league in hitting against righties, and the Angels are fifth in the league against hitting righties.
Wow.
So I'm going easy money here, first five, over 4.5 runs.
Everything lines up. I'm with you. I might take that myself.
I'm telling you, dude, it's an easy one there. Now this next one, this is the one I'm kind of not so sold on. We're going Mets first five minus a half a run versus the Baltimore Orioles. So Walker on the mound for the Mets has a 2.17 ERA. Matt Harvey on the mound for the Orioles has a 6.62 ERA. So clear advantage to the Mets here. And then Baltimore is 28th this season against against righties, and the Mets are actually 12th against hitting righties. So all signals here are pointing Mets. Why is there a possibility? I think that the Orioles could actually end up covering this. It's because this could be a Matt Harvey spike game.
I was about to say Matt Harvey revenge game, dude.
Yeah. That's the one thing that worries me, but I'm still going Mets first five minus a half here.
Probably a good play.
Yeah. I mean, Matt Harvey has a 6.62 ERA. I mean, that's rough.
Of all professional athletes, a pitcher probably has the toughest time having a revenge game because a lot of it's out of their control.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, Diz, what do you got for your best bets of the night?
So I'm obviously taking that Bruins future to win the series. Like I said, if they win game six, I think they're going to win game seven. They're going to be heavily favored in game seven. So we're riding it all in game six tonight. But I think for them to win the series, it's plus 180. So I'm taking that as a value pick. I think that's going to happen. So a plus 180, that is fantastic. And then I also have a future that in the French Open is probably honestly going to be my last bet in the French Open. I've netted a positive again, but it wasn't as much payout as I normally do in the French Open. So I'm going to throw my profits on the Nadal-Djokovic match, assuming that Djokovic wins. Djokovic is probably going to be the underdog, which makes sense. Nadal is literally Jesus Christ on clay, but I think the value for Djokovic to be an underdog, I think you have to take it. So whatever that line is, I'll have Patty update us on the Twitter page when that when that match is set and those lines are set. We'll have Patty give you the full scoop. But I'm going to take Djokovic money line against Nadal. I'm not a huge Djokovic fan, but you can't deny how he's probably the best player in tennis right now. Nadal is the best player on clay ever and will always be that. But you got to love Djokovic and underdog anytime you get that. So those are my two best bets, both kind of futures, but both inevitable in my opinion.
Nice. Absolutely love it. So now let's go to the Hail Mary parlay of the day. Today it is $1 to win $786.41. Now, there's a couple things here. First off, I've already hit the first two legs of this parlay, which I don't like doing that, but sometimes with the matchups and how everything is, sometimes I have to make these bets earlier on in the day, which leads me to my next point. And like Diz mentioned, if you want to see my Hail Mary parlay of the day, if you want to see, you know, some updates to the podcast, make sure you check us out on Twitter at SportsBetByDumb. So earlier today, I did tweet out my Hail Mary parlay of the day. So you could get those early legs in there if you wanted to. So like I said, I am already 2-0 on this. And the two that have already hit were the Cubs-Padres first five under 4.5. And then Giants Rangers total game under 8 runs. Now, on that Giants Rangers under 8 runs, Diz, I almost had a bad beat there.
Okay.
So it was 2-1 going into the bottom of the ninth. I had the under 8 runs. So 3 runs scored so far. We're going into the bottom of the ninth. And the Rangers tied the game up. So I'm like, okay, whatever. 2-2. We're going into extra innings. Top of 10, Giants score a run. All right, cool. 3-2. Giants just hold on. Let's win this thing. The Rangers only scored 1 run. So we are now at 3-3 going into the 11th inning. And that's I'm driving home from work at this point, and I'm just like freaking out. Cause I'm like, are you kidding me? This is going to lose when I thought I had it in the bag in the ninth inning. But fortunately, in the bottom of the 11th, the Rangers finally scored a single run. Cause like a 2-run home run's a push and a 3-run home run, I lose. Fortunately, they just scored a single run to therefore cash the under of 8 runs at 7 runs.
Wow.
But I was very concerned that there was going to be a bad beat there. And
That's
then nuts. I have one other game that is also in progress. That is the Oakland Athletics minus 1.5 runs versus the Diamondbacks. The Athletics are currently up 3-0 in the bottom of the 7th. So I am going to continue to read off the rest of these bets. And hopefully you guys can jump in on at least part of these if you haven't already. Like I said, I got NHL Islanders versus Bruins over 5.5 goals. In the MLB, we got Mets first 5 minus half a run versus the Orioles. Red Sox first 5 minus a half a run versus the Astros. Nationals first 5 plus a half a run versus the Rays. White Sox first 5 minus half a run versus the Blue Jays. Yankees versus Twins first 5 over 4.5 runs. And Royals versus Angels first 5 over 4.5 runs. All right, Diz, anything you got for these people before we send them off?
Are we going to have a... Are we going to have a Canadiens Avalanche semifinal?
No, we're going to have a Canadiens Golden Knights semifinal.
Is it 2-2 in that series?
No, Golden Knights are up 3-2, dude.
No way. I didn't even know that shit.
Yeah, bro.
What's the value of the Avs to win the series? Holy cow. How am I not following that? I just assumed the Avs were going to take it.
Ye of little faith. I told you, Marc-Andre Fleury, dude, he stood on his head last night and he just put the team on his back. The Avalanche to win the series are at plus 250 right now, Diz.
Wow.
Because the Golden Knights have won 3 straight, including 1 in Colorado. So now they're coming back to Vegas for game 6.
Wow.
And Vegas has won 3 straight.
Now that you're a Canadiens fan, are you hoping that the Golden Knights win?
Dude, I'll be honest. If it was a Canadiens Golden Knights semifinal... Yeah, yeah, I mean, I love great goaltending, and those are 2 of the greatest goaltenders in these playoffs.
But Vegas Knights were the nightcap on an $800 parlay.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be tough, man. I mean, I'm gonna be looking like at probably just betting the underdog in whatever game. Also, if the Canadiens win the Stanley Cup, I might have to get a Carey Price sweater.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I might have to do it anyways. I mean,
just do it anyways.
He's easily becoming my favorite NHL player.
For sure.
But yeah, so there you have it. There's another NHL update for y'all.
That's all I got, else? Patty. Good shit, bub.
Okay. Good deal. Thank you all for listening. Send in your celeb bets. We got Celeb Bet Friday coming up. It's going to be electric like always. Let's get a lot of good bets again from our celebs. The more we get, the better this is, the better the episode is. So thank you guys for listening, and we will see you all on Friday.